Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, O You of Little Faith. Those truly repentant, and ultimately those who go into the kingdom, and the fruits of true repentance are described in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, which has been called the greatest sermon ever given. This is then followed up by the chapter on authority, as found in Matthew 8. Matthew 8 provides further evidence in Christ's earthly ministry, showing that he indeed is the promised messianic king. He is presented as having lordship authority, indicative of the divine human Messiah. He cleanses a leper with a touch. He heals the centurion's servant from a distance with just a word. He heals Peter's mother-in-law and demands first place allegiance from would-be disciples. Matthew 8:23 picks up the interrupted narrative, starting back at verse 18, where Christ gave the command to depart to the other side. Keep this in mind. Christ has commanded that they go to the other side, not the bottom of the lake. Matthew 8:23 reads, Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. The parallel text dealing with this event are found in Mark 4:35-41 and Luke 8:22-25. Mark 4:35 indicates it was now evening, following an extremely busy day of teaching and ministering to the crowds. Matthew 8:24 continues, And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. Sudden storms that come with little or no warning are not uncommon on the Sea of Galilee. At 680 feet below sea level, it is the lowest freshwater lake on Earth. It's 13 miles long, 7 miles wide, and about 150 feet deep. The Sea of Galilee is rimmed about by hills and valleys. Mount Hermon to the north rises up to 9,200 feet. And when sudden northerly winds blow down through the valley with great force, meeting the warmer air over the Galilean basin, the result is high winds causing violent waves of 20 feet and white caps. The word translated here as tempest is the Greek word seismos, from which we get our English word seismic. This word usually denotes a violent shaking earthquake, but here it denotes a ferocious storm connoting the tremendous turbulence of the water. Note it says it was a great tempest, not a minor one, a great tempest. Verse 24 says that the boat was covered with the waves. Now that is scary when 20-foot waves are coming over the boat. I don't care how seasoned a fisherman you are, that is terrifying when you're out on a lake that is 150 feet deep. Mark 4:37 and Luke 8:23 say that the boat was filling with water and in jeopardy. And where was Jesus? But fast asleep. It had been an exhausting day, and he was tired. Here we see the humanity of Jesus. But there is a context to Jesus sleeping. This was no normal nap. Jesus was asleep in the midst of a horrendous, life-threatening storm. Matthew 8:25, Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us! We are perishing! Give the disciples a little credit. They knew who to go to. They weren't looking to Peter. They didn't say to Peter, You're a fisherman. You're experienced with this lake. Please do something. No. They knew this was way beyond Peter. And so they went to Jesus. Matthew and Luke are more gracious, simply saying that they awoke Jesus, saying, We are perishing. However, Mark 4:38 says the disciples said to Jesus, quote, Teacher, do you not care? Do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care? Now that had to hurt. If anyone cared, it was Jesus. But don't we also often respond that way in a life crisis, in effect saying, Lord, don't you care what is happening to me? It's a good lesson right here. Of course he cares, and he is sovereign. He's in control. The prayer here was good. Lord, save us. He's in the saving business, and he is mighty to save. Matthew 8:26 continues, But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? Oh, you of little faith. Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. From great tempest to great calm. Jesus rebuked their fear, saying, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Now note, he didn't say that they had no faith, just little faith. They had, after all, come to Jesus saying, "Lord, save us." That showed a little faith. This phrase, "a little faith," is found 5 times in the New Testament, always in reference to the disciples. Lack of faith among those who have faith is sorely disappointing. It speaks of faith that isn't ineffective, deficient, or defective. The goal is to have great faith, not little faith. Their being so afraid showed little faith in Christ's lordship authority. After all, he had commanded that they go to the other side. Fear is here contrasted with faith. Fear, in this sense, is a contradiction of faith. Faith triumphs over fear, or fear triumphs over faith. What's going to govern? Is it going to be fear or faith? That is the question. Faith in the Bible is always based on God's word. Faith takes God at his word and rests in it. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These disciples had heard Jesus' command to go to the other side. They had heard the word, but in the midst of the sudden crisis, they had lost sight of it. That's so easy to do. Note the contrast between great faith of the centurion earlier in the chapter, where he believed the word of Jesus, saying, "If Jesus just said the word, his servant would be healed." Matthew 8, verse 8. Jesus called that great faith. Well, that is in contrast to this little faith that in the same breath called on Jesus as Lord to save them, while at the same time saying, "We are perishing." Which is it? Is he Lord who can bring us to the other side, as he said, or are we going to perish? Then, to prove that indeed he is Lord, the text says, "Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Now that is a call to worship. That's awesome. That's a lordship display. That is lordship on display. No one except God Almighty can do this. The apostles were empowered by God to do various miracles, but this category of miracle over nature was really reserved for Jesus alone. Jesus alone did miracles over nature, and that is significant, for this is the realm uniquely belonging to God. Only God ultimately controls the weather. This is a uniform testimony of Scripture. Psalm 107, 23 through 29. "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands. And raises a stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like drunken men, and are at their wits' end. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm. He calms the storm so that its waves are still." Who does this, according to Psalm 107? The Lord. That is Yahweh. This is the most sacred name for God in the Bible. The one true sovereign God of Israel, the covenant God of Israel. He is the one who calms the storm, stills the waves. Jesus did that. No one else ever did that. This is a God thing. We need to realize that when a ferocious storm like this hits the Sea of Galilee, it can take anywhere from 24 to 48 hours for the sea to quiet down completely. So when Jesus rebuked the winds and the sea, and instantly there was just calm, not just calm, but a great calm, that is mind-blowing. Suddenly the winds came to a screeching halt. There was perfect calm. Suddenly the waters instantly became like glassy still. That never happens. The winds gradually subside. The sea slowly calms down. It happens after a long period of time, but not this time, not this time. At the command of Jesus, there was instantly a great calm. Now that will get your attention. Yeah, that'll get your attention like none other. Matthew 8:26 says the disciples were fearful in the storm, crying out, "We are perishing." Verse 25, but when Jesus calmed the storm, Mark 4:41 said, then they feared exceedingly. Do you know what's more terrifying than the life-threatening storm outside your boat? It is coming to the realization that the sovereign power who controls the storm is in your boat. Now that is terrifying. Just being in the intimate presence of one with all power made them fear exceedingly. Note the language here. Verse 24, a great tempest. Verse 26, a great calm. No matter how great the storm, Jesus is greater. Faith recognizes Jesus' authority over all other forces. He is greater than all. William MacDonald says, all disciples encounter storms, sooner or later. At times it seems we are going to be swamped by the waves. What a comfort to know that Jesus is in the boat with us. End of quote. William MacDonald. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.